Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The Ontario Chamber of Commerce released its annual report recently. Business confidence is low across the province. There are a host of issues facing a wide range of sectors across the business spectrum. Yet in the midst of all the doom and gloom, there is some limited optimism about the upcoming year. Brenda Whitehead, CEO of the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce, is going to give a local perspective on the mood of her members. A record number of businesses from across Northumberland County participated in the survey this year. When it comes to painting a picture of the business environment, her message is simple. It all depends on who you're talking to. For some, the opportunities for expansion and growth exist. Yet for others, there are big challenges such as layoffs and cutbacks. She will give her analysis and insight. I'm delighted to have back Brenda Whitehead, CEO of the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you for having me, Robert. It's always a pleasure.
How are you feeling about the general tenor of business right now in Port Hope?
I think that, you know, when you look at the bigger picture and the larger scope, I think that Port Hope is in a good position for profitability and growth. There are a lot of changes that are happening. There's other, you know, infrastructure issues that we're still dealing with and trying to support, you know, the economic viability of the community. But I do think that as a community, we stick together, we work together, we try to get through things. And so I am always optimistic that the community will be resilient and be able to push through any challenges that we're going to be facing.
I'd like now to talk about the Ontario Chamber of Commerce 2024 report. In it, the provincial economy is described as strained. It describes business confidence as hitting a new low, and that is not a positive picture. Why so glum?
I think that there's a number of different factors that feed into the Ontario Economic Report. Again, it is a vast work, you know, a vast group of people who contribute to the survey and to the report. And I think you have things like, you know, the recent challenges of having to repay debts that was given out during the pandemic. The consumer spending and the trends in how people are spending, where they're spending, how they're spending. There's, you know, inflationary pressures that are coming from the banks and the financial sector. And then, you know, we have great, especially in this community, workforce-related challenges, things like mental health, things like lack of housing, things like cost for groceries, lack of childcare. You know, there are a lot of different things that are impacting business across the sector. And when you remember that the largest percentage of businesses across Canada, in Ontario and in our community, are small businesses with less than 20 employees, those infrastructure impacts really can cause a lot of lacking in confidence.
In the report, it appears that small businesses with less than 100 employees are the least confident. Why do you think that is?
I honestly believe it's because of the infrastructure challenges that face them. They are, you know, each individual business has to have its own foundations and strengths. And if you don't have a workforce or people who can feed into your workforce, if you don't have housing for that workforce, if you don't have childcare for that workforce, if the cost of a bag of milk is, you know, three times more expensive than it was 5 years ago, you know, if there's more mental health pressures and then not supports to support that mental health, I think the smaller businesses, they feel that faster because they have fewer people within their realm of employees, but also fewer people they can reach out to in the workforce.
You've identified some really critical issues, financial issues. Daycare is a big issue you've identified, your cost of groceries, borrowing money costs. When you think about this locally, what do you see as potential solutions to some of these issues?
You know, it's something that we end up talking about a lot. You know, as the Chamber of Commerce, we support here in Port Hope, we support about 220 member businesses and are always available if the larger business sector, you know, requires input or supports or anything. And, you know, we have constant conversation, you know, with our partners at the Ontario Chamber and the Canadian Chamber of Commerce about the three levels of government really having to start to buckle down and work better together. You know, there's housing proposals being put out at municipal level, but they don't meet the goals of the provincial, and then there's no funding and support from the federal. You know, so there's the three levels of government really have to start getting into each other's pockets and understanding that we as taxpayers can't continue to pay increased tax levels to support initiatives that are going to help the bottom line and the economic viability of any community. So I really do believe that we really have to have a lot more support of all three levels of government, identifying which area they're responsible for, sharing that with the community, and then being able to support where they say they're going to.
In one of the sections of the report, it talks about the agricultural sector holding the lowest level of confidence at 3%. What does the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce do to help farmers and agribusinesses?
It's a good question, Robert. We don't have a large number of agriculture members. We do have a few. Some of the larger farming businesses and that kind of stuff are members of the Chamber of Commerce. You know, we do work with them in helping them identify funding sources and grant sources that are available provincially and federally. We connect them to each other because, as you know, we're much better together. So we may have, you know, one farm that's looking for X number of pieces of equipment or some help with taking off a harvest at a different time than another farm, you know, so they can share some of their workers and their staff and that kind of thing. So really what we try to do is connect them to the resources that's going to help them to stay viable. I think the biggest concern from an agribusiness and what we're hearing is the succession planning for the farms. You know, there's a number of farmers in and around this area who are fourth and fifth generation farmers, but the fifth and sixth generation may not be interested in being a farmer. So what are they going to do to preserve that farmland or to, you know, push it out to somebody who does want to make sure that we're continuing to, you know, be fed and have the things that we need from our agri partners?
The report says nearly half of the businesses surveyed say they are confident in their internal outlooks and expect to grow in 2024. And you've already alluded to this in our conversation, but what are you hearing on the street? Is there opportunity for growth? And could you share some stories?
I do think that there is some opportunity for growth. Again, it depends on the sector and the things that are happening, you know. So when you talk to some of our manufacturers locally, especially here, you know, there's changes going on with the bigger industries and companies that own parts of who they are and that kind of thing. So there's not a lot of control over that. You talk to some of our smaller businesses, service providers, you know, that kind of thing. They're back to being, you know, shop local, share local, support local. That's who Port Hope is, anyways. Those are the things that we as consumers and we as shop owners, you know, we know if we take care of who's next door, they're going to take care of us with a different level of service, you know, and that kind of thing. And so I think, you know, when I think about some of the businesses that are experiencing growth, you know, there are some of the smaller manufacturers who, because they have become experts in their area and there's people looking to hire them, they, you know, are in some cases turning away contracts because they don't have the space to be able to deliver what needs to be delivered. I think those who are in the niche market, they are doing well. And I do think that, some of the more long-term businesses, they could stay and be here for even longer, providing that succession planning comes into place. Because again, some of them are starting to hit, generational gaps where there may not be somebody in the family to pass the business to. So they're hoping to, sign off or pan off to longtime employees and that kind of thing. So I do think that there's a number of different opportunities for growth, and we have seen them and been in conversation with some of those.
The report says that there are shortages of labor, especially in the construction industry, transportation, and manufacturing. What is the situation in Port Hope?
Well, we've actually been working on a project for the last year or so as the Chamber of Commerce in cooperation with the Municipality of Port Hope related to this directly. It was called the Balanced Employment Initiative. There'll be more information about it, in the next little while from the municipality. But, we actually met with over 50 employers and talked to them about gaps to say, what are our gaps right here in Port Hope? And there were two gaps. The first was manufacturing, and the second was hospitality, tourism, and service. So frontline kind of, employees. The manufacturing has probably done a bit of a shift now that there are some of our manufacturers doing layoffs. Some long-term, very long-term manufacturing employees are all of a sudden faced with no employment because there are not a lot of opportunities. I do believe that construction is another area. And the other area for gaps in our communities right now is frontline medical related, like PSWs and home care workers and that kind of thing. I think depending on your community, it's just reflective of who you are, what you provide, and the services you give. We are an older population, so there is more of a need and a demand for some of that PSW and home support worker. And there's not a lot of young people who can afford to live and stay here. The same with the tourism and the hospitality and the frontline stuff. You can't rent an apartment anywhere in this community for less than, $1,800 to $2,000 a month. And you don't get paid enough to work as a part-time waitress or server, to be able to pay for that. So it kind of comes back to that balance act. And we definitely have a shortage. The Workforce Development Board, if anybody's looking for information on the current labor markets, go to the Workforce Development Board page. They have some great stats on Northumberland, where the biggest gaps are and what the job postings are that are reflective of that.
When it comes to government policies, the report seems to say the same thing year after year: cut red tape, reduce taxes. Yet we watched as municipal councils struggled with their annual budgets to keep up levels of service in the face of rising costs and more complex issues that they have to deal with. From a local perspective, not a federal or a provincial, is it a fair criticism?
Well, I think there's fair criticism that we can point towards the provincial and federal government for some of the blame. And again, it's that downloading. Yes, there's a constant desire to reduce red tape. And I know that we have many conversations as chambers of commerce with each other about everything from how long it takes to get a building permit to, the amount of time it takes to, advance stormwater management without talking about stormwater fees, right? Like there's, some major stuff that's happening. And again, it comes from the download and, like you said, the added stress to the municipalities. And because for so long, especially during the pandemic and stuff, nobody wanted to increase anything because we didn't know where things were going to be financially. So the decision makers and the problem solvers didn't put a lot of increases on and tried to continue to deliver the same level or advanced levels of services. And now, all across the municipal level, it doesn't matter where you are in Canada, but especially in, this area, the increase had to happen to make up for infrastructure losses and things that were impacted because there had been no increase for so long.
Do you feel the local government is doing enough to support businesses in Port Hope? Why or why not?
I think that there's going to be some ultimate testing in Port Hope, whether they're supporting businesses or not, and what that support looks like. We have some major projects, press releases, being issued or has been issued with regards to the Walton Street reconstruction in downtown Port Hope. That's, what could end up being a multi-year project in sections and spaces. And that's going to impact, travability, if that's a word, but your ability to move around within the downtown core. I do think that we're very fortunate that we as a Chamber of Commerce have a very open and working relationship with the Municipality of Port Hope and Council, as well as their Economic Development Department. So anytime any issues or things come to the table, we do have a very open door policy where we can walk across the street and literally talk to them about what's going on. And I do believe that everybody has the best interest of business. I do believe there's also limitations and capacity and the things that you're able to actually do to support businesses. And I also believe that businesses are becoming more and more aware of the fact that there is a cost of doing business that they have to take, accountability and responsibility for. So I do think that Port Hope is in a good situation, that they have a council and staff and employees and departments and people like us and the HBIA who are willing to support them again to be resilient and continue to thrive.
Another aspect of the report is employee well-being. Are you seeing employers dealing with more physical and mental health issues similar to those articulated in the report?
I don't think there's anybody anywhere, Robert, who would say that well-being is not a priority for your employees and you as an employer. I know that with our Balanced Employment Initiative, we created a third pillar, and that was actually support for employers. A lot of times you start a business and you don't realize how much work it is to manage and, human resource management, a staff team. And so we've created, a pillar of training on things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, mental health for you as an employer, understanding mental health, encouraging flexibility and scheduling, and all those things that contribute to you as a business owner, as an employer, but also to your employees, and the importance, how important it is to make sure that people do have, work-life balance, the ability to work when it works for them. And it's a hard shift, but I think people are realizing they have to make the shift, or we're going to continue to see the shortfall in our workforce. We're going to see fewer people being able to do some of the hard level frontline stuff that we need people to do.
The report also says organizations are taking less action around diversity, equity, and inclusion. Can you characterize the situation in Port Hope and what's being done in this particular area?
It's a bit of a, again, another one of those loaded questions because it depends on who you talk to. We as the Chamber of Commerce, we are firm believers and asserters in what we call IDEA, which is inclusion, diversity, and equity advancement. So we as a board are a 50-30, so we're 50% female or better, 30% or better are under our populations that have been identified as being underserviced or underincluded. We also encourage our membership, to participate. We send out training opportunities. We make sure that people do consider how welcoming they are to people of all age, genders, creeds, religions, cultures. And I do think that there's just a reality that it's happening whether people are aware and attentive to it or not. It is a something that we are attacking with our International Women's Day event this year. The theme of that is Inspire Inclusion, and we have four speakers who are going to talk about things that they have done locally and things that each one of us can do at the local level every day to be more inclusive from a diversity, equity, and inclusion perspective.
Tell us more about this International Women's Day. Who are these people that are going to speak and what's involved?
Sure. So we, as the Chamber of Commerce, have partnered with the Capitol Theater. Thank you to them for their beautiful facility and for helping us with it. We've recruited four speakers. Three of them are local who have done something in their lives as women to inspire inclusion and include people. So we have Leslie Boyd, who is the owner of the Inuit Fine Art Gallery. She has spent many years using art as a conduit and a tool to be included inclusive of Indigenous communities and Inuit communities in and throughout the North. We have Maria Papaiwanaduwik, who I'm sure many know because she is a local, radio talent and stuff. She actually is going to talk about how important it is to amplify our voices. So she had an incident at our local hospital that made her feel like there was not equality being happening. And she found the person to speak to. She activated change, and policies were changed within a few weeks for the betterment of women specifically. And then we also have our mayor, Elena, who actually has a very broad background in intersectionality, diversity, inclusion. She's done work with the United Nations and other organizations, and she's going to talk about the global perspective and how it's very reflective of what happens locally. Our keynote is a lovely lady by the name of Kate Ryan, and she works in a primarily male environment. She's in the tech world, and her job full time is diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging. And she's going to talk to the community and the people in attendance about things that we can do every day, like I said, to be more inclusive and diverse in the things that we're doing. It's a free of charge event happening on March 8th at 3 o'clock at the Capitol Theater. Anybody is invited. You don't have to be, gender, religion, race, any of that stuff doesn't matter because we believe that inclusion is everybody's responsibility. So we want everybody to feel that they are welcome to attend.
This annual report comes out, makes lots of comments about the business environment. What are the new action items you want to see addressed locally out of this report?
I don't know if it's necessarily change as opposed to focus, because some of these things you may not be able to change in a 12-month period. Some of them are bigger than we can imagine. I think the first thing that we really have to look at from a local perspective are the workforce challenges. Who are our workforce? How do we get to know them better? How do we get them employed? How do we encourage them? How do we provide that infrastructure stuff, the childcare and the healthcare and the places to live and those kinds of things. I can't stress enough how important that is, especially as a rural community. Let's get our broadband. I know that they're working on it, but broadband is a huge issue once you go north of the 401, especially in Port Hope. So these are very big workforce challenges that I think we can address. I think the second thing for me would be support to our agriculture sector. Our ward two is agriculture. That's what we do out there. And so I do think that there is a responsibility to our municipal governments to understand what they can do to better support the agriculture. And then I think the last piece is just keeping the line of communication open between the businesses and, again, the municipality. With projects coming on board, like the Walton Street reconstruction and changes to sewer systems and some of the stuff that they need to do with roads, that can directly impact our business and our economy, which is just simplifying the communication piece so that everybody is aware so that they can plan. And don't do it short term and quick. Like, don't give somebody 2 weeks' notice. Give them enough time that they can build a plan to make sure that their business is resilient and bounces back.
Brenda Whitehead, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
And thank you, Robert, for giving us the chance.
That was Brenda Whitehead, CEO of the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.